Is it going?
Yeah.
Okay, great as well.
Oh, I thought you meant the museum. Well, it's going very, very well. Yeah.
Well, it in thinking about it, I think it does connect with Hawaii. We had just come back from Hawaii, and right out of dental school. We went there for a year and a half, about. Moved in a clinic, indigent clinic,
okay.
Clinic for indigent children. And out there, every Kamehameha knows his or her history, and they celebrate it. And that was about me out there in the class.
Oh!
Yeah, learning
the there were several, yeah. But even more so now. But anyway, I think what Dave's getting at is that we came back wondering about our own lineage and wondering about the history of where we had grown up and knowing that no one talks about it or did at that time around here. So Dave got very involved in the Grand Haven area.
Yeah, I looked into the history, and it's so rich. And yet, there was nothing to record it, document it, chronicle it. And so, I came up with this idea of putting up historical markers. I don't know if you've ever seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Or not.
Well, you haven't seen ours.
Oh, no. Oh, then I might not have seen yours. Okay.
Ours didn't hold up as well as we have.
No, that's right. No, our first child was born in February of that. We came here in 55, February of 56. And from 57 to 58, the poor kid was surrounded by sawdust all of a sudden. Because what I did was get some very simple gores and tack them together, tie them together with metal straps,
okay.
And then draw a script on them.
But they ended up.
Well, they were 3x4.
And what did you mark historically?
I chose the first house, the third house, first cemetery, first school, right next to the across the Yarmouth. Three down at the river. One to commemorate, to tell the story of the river itself, one to tell about what used to be on the other side of the river, and everyone thought Grand Haven started over there. And then the third about the shipwrecks of 29. Then, the Mineral Springs, where the bank is, Thomas, you know about what that is, about where the new church is on the street.
Oh, okay.
That's about
okay.
Where it was.
Okay.
And, but we had to mark it down on Washington Street. And then over in Perrysburg, the boiler and Spring Lake, Mill Point, were all in London.
Uh-huh.
So there were 10 in all.
Okay.
And on May 22nd, that's why it's a coincidence, I didn't realize it was May 21st. May 22nd of 1959, we chose Michigan as the time. But Esther Dean came to the house.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not from here.
No.
Everyone knew Esther Dean. Was she still living?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She had, as I know, you're the historian, very mad. She had a junior or senior high school. Junior high school, the historical society. I don't know what they called it.
I think she called it the Bruce Robinson.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I was forgotten. And so she came to Dave, and I do recall her saying to the. Well, but particularly because she said, you know, you two are young and ambitious, and she said, I don't have the time or the energy. I think she had more energy than I did. But she said, I don't have the time or the energy, and I don't have the organizational capabilities, which really surprised me. And she probably did. Yeah. But I think she didn't want to put that much effort into starting an adult historical society. So we sat in our living room and discussed it. And Dave was full of ideas. And she knew we would be, so between the two of them, didn't bring that shooter off the ground. I think she didn't want to put, not so much not want to put the effort in, I think she didn't want to have to pick things up.
Okay.
And she agreed with
the other one. In researching it, I tried to find out, was there a historical society? Researching it, there had been a county historical society in 1858.
Oh, okay.
And it was founded by William Perry, who was the first president.
Oh.
And, but I couldn't find anything on that. But on that same night, May 22nd, 1959, there were a group of about 10 like-minded people that got their heads together. And one was Don Johnson, Ray Fisher, Grace Schultz, George Crispin finally came into it, of course, Esther Dean, myself.
Esther Dean must have talked to us maybe February.
February must have been, about February. So, on that night, we formulated what we might have as a way of society.
Okay.
And it was on, we called it, decided to call it the Tri-Cities Historical Society, because at that time there was some hope glimmering of it, that there might be a unification of the three.
I'm surprised it hasn't changed names.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should. As you don't know the storyline, but it did.
Oh.
When I, after 1984, the sesquicentennial, I asked me to be on the society again, and I became the president, and the first thing I did was say, I've got to change it to Grand Haven Historical. Because Tri-City doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Tri-City means Midland, Bay City.
Yeah, I write. Depends on where you're at.
Yeah, exactly.
You know that. Oh.
And you get 2 miles outside of Grand Haven and Tri-City is lost. So it all started in about the 1930s, and it started over in Ferrisburg. That was the first Tri-City. It was the Tri-City Oil, and it's still Tri-City Oil today. And then it worked its way along, and now it's going the other way. We used to be now at the Grand Haven area, JC's. Grand Haven area schools, Grand Haven area community foundation, Grand Haven Kennedy, Grand Haven area describes it.
Yeah, it does.
And it.
Well, I was at something one time and they said, you know, you don't, we were talking about identity, they said, you don't fly into the, you know, whatever, Wayne County International Airport or the Cook County, you fly into the Detroit International Airport, the Chicago International, but those airports are not anywhere near, they're not in the city.
Yeah, yeah.
But you identify with the city that's most prominent in your sphere, you know, you don't identify with a township or a county name, you identify with the city name that's in your area. So, you know, Grand Haven area does just is much more descriptive than, you know, saying, you know, Ottawa, Northern Ottawa County, you know, that's what
it's North Ottawa.
Yeah.
Well, politically, yeah. And that's pretty right. So, over that summer, we decided that anyone that joined during the summer decided they wanted to be elected. And we had set October 6th as the day that we would have our formal organizational meeting. And by that time, there were 106 people.
Yeah. Wow.
So those were the inaugural members, and you probably have seen that. And at that time, I was chosen president. Isabel Hills was vice president, or was the reporting secretary, or
Yeah, that was all good.
Yeah, probably. And then Esther Dean was replaced.
And so there was the list that we were given.
Oh, yeah.
The original charter members.
Yeah. It's 100.
Well, and the funny thing was, I called Jack Reichardt, too, because he was on that list. And I thought, well, I could talk to Jack. He doesn't remember anything about that. I said, well, Jack, you must just been a nice person and, you know, paid your dues and wanted to see this happen.
Wanted to see it happen.
Yeah. Yep.
It is an interesting date, family law dates.
Well, I have it all written up in a book I'm doing.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I would remember all of it. Let's see, I'm looking for Chrisman, George Chrisman. He was vice president.
You know that he's
there. Yeah. Well, I guess he's not all up in the line.
No,
yeah, he's out there. So. He was vice president. Then we had two, Isabel Mills and Esther Dean, recording corresponding secretary.
Okay.
Then Ray Swanson. Treasury. So then we set November 2nd, 1959, as the first celebration. And really, my thought behind this whole thing from the beginning was to alert people to the fact 125th or something. We had a great 100th anniversary. We were in the town, but it was about a 4 or 5 day affair. Everyone was involved somewhere. That was in 34. So this would have been the 125th, and was, had it down Shore. And we had characters. The only one that is duplicated, I think, is Bill Preston.
Oh, really?
He was William Perry that night, and he still is. Everyone else, you know, that, Bud Baker was Clark Elby. I can't remember who else. Oh, I know, Larry Dunbos is Rich Robinson. Anyway, I was Thomas Ferry. That's right, I was Senator Ferry. I thought that was a nice time. So it was a great success, and that was a kickoff. So it coasted along like that for a number of years. In 67, the musical pump went in 63. And that began a cleanup of the waterfront. And it was Bill Preston's idea to, among other things, put up some stands down there for the musical pump. Now, we had already started a water show, that was Whitey White's water show. And we had used some bleachers from the high school to put it in front of what was then the Harbor Industry. That part that were actually then at that time was Henry Park. And they were just wooden bleachers and didn't see for them. So the thought was, let's get some real bleachers up. But to do it, we have to tear down the depot. So that's when, and you were working at the office at that time?
No, not really. I mean, off and on, I was home raising kids and kept getting phone calls from these wonderful old people who are probably about the age we are now, wanting to save that depot.
What could
they do about it? We had lost the county building.
Yeah, we lost that in 64.
And then we had lost the
Louder Home
and my favorite library, or post office.
Oh, the post office, that's right. Yeah.
I didn't mean my favorite. Anyway, I finally said to Dave, you know, and I was very involved in the voters at that time, and I said, you know, I don't have the time or the energy, but what you really need to do is have somebody go out and take a petition and go door to door so that you can prove to the city council and Bill, Mayor Bill, that people really were concerned about saving the depot. Well, the light bulb went on, and they took out an ad in the paper. And people either dropped it off at the office or mailed them to us. And we went up to City Hall with a stack like that. And Bill said, okay, I get it.
Yeah, Well,
yeah,
it's
good.
And I explained that they certainly are not legal petitions because they can people all over.
Yeah.
People who are living in Seattle and Arizona.
We're taking a break.
Yeah, right. And, but it occurred. But it was really quite blatant the way, and not just Grand Haven, but after the war, the Terry Town buildings,
yeah.
Right. And we were going into burial mounds, sacred burial mounds that today you couldn't touch. And they were gone. With one swipe of the bulldozer, they were gone. Mm-hmm. We read some accounts of pots and shards and skulls and bones.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just buried, put away.
Body.
Because they had to put a building up there, or apartment lot. So, anyway, that's how the people were saved.
But the museum had been somewhere else, right? They were,
yes.
They were. You had a public display somewhere, right?
Yeah. It began.
Very difficult for the public to get to.
John Paff and Maury Wilson and Ray Swanson. I know that John and Maury and Ray were Masons.
Okay.
I don't know about
Maury.
He may have been. But the Masons owned what is now the Witherell Building, the Masonic Lodge at that time, Masonic Building. And they gave them two rooms in the upper floor. And that's where, because people caught on that it was the repository, and so more and more people were beginning to bring things to us that we didn't have room for. No, in somebody's garage.
So did you have displays, or was it just purely a storage?
No, there were displays of sorts.
Okay.
In two rooms up there. Kind of a furniture laid out around the room, knickknacks and so forth. That's the best you could do. But then the city acquired the depot in 69 for $97,000. Or $67,000, but $50,000 came from
Raleigh. Okay.
And had we not had that 67 petition drive in 69, it would have gone.
So the city, so they were going to petition CSX to tear the building down?
No, they.
Back in 67.
They didn't own it yet, but they were working on acquiring it.
Oh, okay.
It took a couple of years to get it.
Okay.
And so by 69, it was.
Maybe it wasn't CSX. Maybe it was
no, at that time it was Grand Trunk. Grand Trunk and CSX.
Yeah.
But it was Pure Marquette, correct?
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
You know what CSX stands for?
No.
That's interesting. You know, SPX, which is no longer Michigan. But Chesapeake and Ohio and Southern combined, Southern Railroad.
Okay.
To make the Southern, the C and the S.
Okay.
And then the X is for any other entity that they might take in. So that's where the X comes from. Isn't that crazy? And that's what happened with SPX. Same thing.
Cover all their bases.
That's right.
They don't want another name change. Oh, that's interesting. So the city got it in 1769.
Yeah.
Were you already, you'd gone to the petition, were you 67. Thinking... Did you go with the petition to save it, or was the petition to save it and give it to the museum?
I gave them a list of 10 different things that could be done with that.
Okay.
And the last one was make it a museum, because it was too transparent what I was trying to save it for. So it was going to be a state of limnology. It could have been an aquarium, a study of the clarity of the water of the Grand River, Coast Guard Museum. I had a long list of things. And then at the end, oh, by the way, it could be a museum. And so when it came time to, as soon as the city acquired it, I wasn't on the board at that time. On the museum board. They got busy and began to petition the city to lease it to them. So they, in 72, which is May 21.
And maybe they did it specifically on that date, going back to the founding date.
I wonder.
I bet they did.
Yeah,
So, that's great. Then, what was the reception in the community at the time? Was it
were you laughed at, or were people behind this 100%, or did dollars flow out of the woodwork?
You mean when the
when they got the museum, or when it was announced that the museum was going to be in the depot? What kind of?
Well, I think people were enthused about it, but certainly there was no outflowing cash. Still, I think it did once again signal that it was the repository for any of the old family artifacts that didn't need to put them in another attic.
Yeah.
Bring them down to our attic. And that's about what it was, if you may remember.
Yeah, those early days.
Until it was Grandma's attic, and they put everything out, and that was it. If you've seen it 5 years ago, there's no reason to go back. It hadn't changed much.
Yeah, they've come a long way from those days.
What do you remember of it?
That once you had seen it, you didn't bother to go back, which was unfortunate because if they put classes there, elementary classes, but it was a one-time thing. By the time they went when they were in the fourth grade, they didn't want to go again when they were in the fifth or sixth grade because they'd seen it.
In 82, anticipating the 84 assessment center, we put a group together to do the downtown walking tour. Have you ever seen that? And what we did was to, thank goodness we had John Skelton at that time. It was John every single day. And he could go back, and we took them all back to the turn of the century and brought them up through the different ownerships. So you could walk from store to door, store to store. And it turned out to be much more than a walking tour. Take a year's course to study them all and to go around. But we were able to publish that in 82, and that was the that built the enthusiasm for 84. And
books still being used.
Library in the garden with the museum money. And so when 84 came around, we brought those characters back. They've kind of been around. They're still around. And although Jerry can't get introduced. And but that was a great success. And it was after that that I went back on board. We had the courage at that time and figured we'd better do it because people were really turned on about history at that time. We had a parade a week and everyone was in a parade.
Well, we still, Dave and I, we still go to the schools, and that's a spinoff from.
And how often are you doing that?
Whenever they ask us.
Yeah.
Whenever I don't have to go out and place that night. One classroom that we go to every year, and by the way, I was out in the hallway at Salvation Army, and this woman is saying, where do you want me? She's like, got a lot of bags in the back of the car. Where do you want me?
You recognize her?
Who's for the church? I recognized her, but she didn't recognize me.
Oh, of course.
And
she
was Mrs. Holtrop.
From the Christian school.
Oh, okay.
So I told Captain Laura I would take care of it with her. And I said, I know you don't know who I am. And she said, that voice is so familiar. We've probably been going there since 1984, and she's never seen me without my black wig on.
Black wig and makeup.
Well, yeah.
And a headband.
What is that, about fourth grade? Is that when the kids...
About that, yeah.
Do their history lesson from Michigan History, 34.
Fourth grade. Yeah. It all depends.
Yeah.
That's a good age, though.
Oh, yeah. When I was so into about the history. So how often have you served on the board? Have you ever served on the board? You've just been that strong, supportive wife that made him what he is today, right?
Yeah, I don't think I was ever asked, which is fine with me. I other things.
Mm-hmm. At least twice.
I think she has.
Yeah.
I don't know.
get away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, but I've always felt that if an organization is strong enough, you don't need anyone. In fact, you better get out.
Well, yeah.
To make sure it can still keep going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I made a point to bug out what, why. And that was another project.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, for that period, from about 63 to 72,
okay. Yeah, you weren't involved.
I was in Y.
Okay.
My
Y came. Yeah. You talked about republishing that pamphlet on the walking tour. Sounds like whenever they need a printing issue or something, are you talking about writing the history?
Yeah, I'm working on the
book. Are you doing from Leo Lilly forward?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, now Leo Lilly published his book in 32.
Okay.
32 for the 1934 Assessment Center
Centennial. Okay.
And what he did was to leave, all of his history stops at 1890.
Okay.
And I never could figure it out. And there are two reasons for it. One is there's a liability. If you leave out an entire generation and don't tell any of your bad stories about them, you're not going to get hooked.
Okay.
So you just forget about them. But then there's another part to it, and that is that when you're working at history, what happened last week and even 10 years ago isn't really history. And that's no fun. There's no search there. The fun in doing history is the research,
okay.
The fun of the hunt. And so I'm going to end up, even though that's it, better to put a date on history.
A deadline. Like Leo Lilly.
Well, everyone needs a deadline. I should write on about 10 years.
Oh, well, a deadline for the book being printed.
Yeah.
Heaven, she says. I gave you that ultimatum about,
sure.
Maybe 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to 700 pages. I think this is page 100.
But War and Peace, stand aside.
Oh,
right.
And, you know, I can say, if you leave me with that.
Yeah.
And it could well happen.
So okay. Where are you up to? Or is it that you just a certain something clicks in your
right
and you start researching something?
Well, somebody calls.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I've got some
Okay.
And he does get sidetracked. Right now you're working on it or something. He has written something in the education field for the Educational Foundation.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're on
there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a copy. Of course
you have. Yeah.
Right. Well, little things like
yes,
that. Then he starts doing research in that.
Mm-hmm.
But then all that information will go into the ebook.
Yeah.
Well, but you can't put it in that form.
No.
Because that's crunched down. What I did was to take about 50 pages of the school district that I'm working on and then crunch that down to those 10 pages. And you may have to crunch it further.
Yeah.
You know, to get it down. I talked to this subject, but I talked to Ben Stewart, and he said he'd love to do it. And I said, well, you're saying I'd love to do it. I think the school's going to have to do this. Said, oh, well, because he has his own business.
Mm-hmm. True, but he is so good at doing documentaries like that.
I know that.
Yeah,
but if the school does it, he'll still do it.
Oh,
but
sure.
But then you have to get in line.
Yeah, okay.
If you want him to do it, he can do it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's going to be $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah.
Whereas if the school does it, you don't have it. We'll get in line.
Yeah.
It's going to take you that long to get all the pictures together and to try to fit all of the narrative pictures.
Yeah, but that's where he'll shine, too.
That's right.
You know, so it's one of those, some of it is that you just pull the stuff together and give you this big catalog of pictures and some dates and stuff that go with them, and then he can he does all that. He's done some nice things.
Yeah, you've worked with him.
Yes, he's very good to work with.
Yeah,
Ooh,
we did the Coast Guard.
Oh, and that's an excellent video.
Yeah. Well, he did that.
He did, yeah. And Celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I worked with him years ago on the pure safety one.
We
had a Corps of Engineers and we're distributing it all over on pure safety that he did. Once again, just very well done.
He wants to do one on surfing. And
a fun one.
Yeah, okay. And went out in Hawaii.
Okay.
I built a surfboard.
Oh.
I don't know if I ever told you this.
No.
All of the life rafts the Navy had were big, looked like big inner tubes with slats the seas came washing through that men could sit on the sides.
Okay.
They had ropes they'd hang on to them, unsinkable. And they were big balls. And there were thousands of them. You could buy one for $5-$10. Strip all of that tape off the outside, and you have pure balsa wood. And so what the kids were doing, they sliced it into planks, glued it together, fiberglass, and shaped like fiberglass. Those are the surfboards. And so we were out there to go. And
he had a friend that was stationed at Pearl Harbor. So you and he
had the use of all of their planes.
So this is an excellent mode.
You're still hanging. Oh, I'm sure.
It's still hanging in the ground.
Yeah.
So that we're going to have to get it down.
You're sure we are? When we came back from Hawaii, we didn't have 2 cents. Well, we didn't have 2 cents to rub together the whole time we were there. And Dave kept saying, well, you could take the board. It didn't cost him anything, really. I don't think you could take the false of it. Off a file and take them. And he said, I can sell it for $30. You know, we'll be $30 ahead when we go home. That's pretty. Packaged the thing and shipped it home for $30.
Well, and no one back here knew what you were even talking about, I'm sure.
No. But I started surfing out of Lake Michigan. 1955. The fall of
55. Well, when we have outdoor parties in the summertime, we use it for effect of,
surfing.
Our
surfing.
Surfing,
yes. So it was being fully used.
Anyway, enough of this.
Yeah.
But I do wonder why you're going to Hawaii. Is this an anniversary?
Yes. Tom and I, 30 years ago, were married there. So it was in July, but the summer was, we knew it was busy and all that stuff. So we said, well, let's go somewhere in the fall. And
beautiful time.
Yeah,
go.
It really is. Oh. Yeah. So
you were married at Utaha?
No, we were actually married at Wahiwa Botanical Gardens in the middle, right outside of by Schofield Barracks in Wheeler, because my dad was at Wheeler. And so we'll spend a day and do a walk. We're not staying today. We're going over to, we've never been to Big Island, so we're going to go over to the Big Island and spend the rest of the time over there.
What do you remember about that? What do you recommend? You see, other than tell them that's where they're going to be.
There's the volcano.
Yeah.
Incidentally, there's the volcano.
Yeah, right.
And then we have the lava sand, like sand. Mm-hmm. And we have the disappearing beach, which I think is a problem.
That's the disappearing beach. I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, not that well.
It's amazing. It comes in a glow.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, but there are other things.
I commented about
The Parker Ranch.
Yeah. Interesting country. Some neat little villages, I remember.
The island's interesting because there is so much diversion.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah, it just sounds like it, yeah. Well, and it sounds like it's still not fully developed. So,
right.
You know, like I have no desire to go back to Maui, for instance, or anything like that, because it's just so
you want to see tourists.
And, but Hawaii itself sounds like it's still got maybe some local flavor.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hilo is
Is it?
Oh, boy.
Hilo, and then you get up to, the last time we were on the Big Island, we had a friend who was living there all by herself, up in one of the volcano cities.
Yes.
It's too small. And what had happened was a lot of people from, that she had met on Oahu had retired. Up into that area because it was old Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, and that, and real estate was just so expensive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So they were.
No, they sold their homes on Oahu and made nice retirements.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they were enjoying the fact that life moved in much slower.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Crafted by it.
I was telling, ironically, one of my employees is going there the week after we get are there. Her son bought her a trip to Hawaii, so she's going. And I was saying, well, you know, I was reading in the travel books. I said, I still have the Holly Eva shaved ice. So I said, not everything has changed on Oahu.
Hey,
Matsumoto's in Holly Eva.
You know, we went back last year. We were there over Thanksgiving for 3 weeks.
Oh.
And we never left the Oahu.
Really?
This friend of ours, who we've known forever, he's from our hometown, and has lived out there. He was living there when he moved out there. Anyway, he was retired and used to be in the hotel business, sold his hotel, and he had a comfy retirement, but antsy. And he sort of went into, well, real estate and so forth. But what he does now, and all he does, I guess, is take care of
a beach home
right on the, right, Kahala. Remember the Kahala area?
Mm-hmm.
And we were going out. We had our plans all set up. We stayed at our hotel for a few days. Anyway, Lyman called, and we knew the owner of this place. We've been entertained there a couple of times through the years. Anyway, he said,
as a matter of fact, he lives in by Bay City.
Was one of his homes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then San Francisco, and then Honolulu.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said, Howard's place is going to be vacant. He said, we had it rented over Thanksgiving. They can't make it. I got the deposit. And he said, I'd like you guys to, because he lives right next door.
Oh, sure.
I'd like you guys to come out and spend the rest of your time there. So there we were.
Oh.
Beautiful feature. And it's not that elegant. Other than the fact that an old beach home that they
updated,
built on the top floor. The whole entire top floor is the master bedroom. It was nice.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Sounds like it's very nice.
So we didn't leave the island.
Yes. Well, why would you?
But we got
around
the island.
Yeah.
We got out to Hollywood.
Oh, we went all the way down.
Went out through your old stomping grounds. Still pineapple out there.
Is there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think not much of that sort of stuff was even left there. It was all houses and things there.
See, the reason that we like Oahu, it's home.
Yeah.
But secondly, by far the best food.
Yeah. Okay.
You get a diversity of food.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get Hollywood.
Yeah.
Unless you want Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find it. But there is the cultural basis there, the ethnic basis.
Oh, that's
there.
True. Yeah.
It's all there.
Yeah.
And whereas you go to Maui, tours, everyone has round eyes and blonde hair.
But our friends were all there.
Well,
you know, and now they've either divorced or died off.
But still, that's still a great place.
No, but that was the reason why we always went there. We always stayed the place that we were about. And that's not true either. We've always found some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get a chance to go to Molokai, that's really cool.
Really?
Yes.
Well, yeah, that was one of the close. No.
Robbins, or I should say, Nikihau.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's
right.
I don't know. Can you get still can't?
Still can't get in there?
So
oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Kulawe, of course, was the bombing range.
Yes.
And that's the one that the Hawaiians brought back and staked out as their own.
Oh, they have. Oh.
Great dispute about whether or not they really own it or not. There's still probably a lot of duds on there that no one wants to poke
down.
Do you have more questions, Gail?
Well,
we could go on like this.
I know. where are the two of you from? I knew you weren't from here, and now I'm thinking, you know, what brought you here to get so involved in Grand Haven's history?
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell that one. Yeah. Well, we're both from Jackson.
Oh, okay.
But you can hear it.
We did.
Did he pull your pigtails?
No, not really. No, we were real good friends.
Yeah.
Real good buds. Till the last half of the senior year in high school. In the first year.
Oh, yeah? And then, so you did it all through college?
Well, yeah. We went in the service. Mm-hmm. So. But the reason we came to Grand Haven on our honeymoon because we had a 19, now we were married in 49, we had a
1930
car, is that it? It was 19 years old.
Yeah. And it cost us $100. She put up 50. Yeah, a clock and a radio and a heater, and they all worked when the car went.
Oh.
As soon as the car stopped, everything stopped.
Oh.
Yeah, and all my friends were being married at the same time, and everybody's parents were giving them a new car.
That was the wedding gift.
We were. Matter of fact, one of our friends, one of our close friends, got married the same day we did. We had a very quiet home wedding, and she did it in a large church wedding. And it had to be the following Sunday. I don't know. We had both stayed in the Holland area. And here they came flying past us in their new car. Drew on the brakes, and of course we're on the highway. What was the highway? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, it was a superhighway.
Too late highway.
Yeah. But we were 35 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour. That's about.
They were so excited because they knew that had to be us. They had never seen the car. But we knew we were headed in the same direction. Anyway, we just fell in love with Grand Haven.
Oh, okay.
We got this far. This is far enough as we got.
Okay.
Started out in South Haven, worked our way up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's good. See, I even forgot.
Yeah.
This, you never tell us about the wedding, but Dot planned her own wedding, of course.
Well, if it's going to be on Gail's notes, what are you going to tell?
No, and the music at the wedding.
Oh, you will never forget that.
Meanwhile.
Now, we had a very dear friend who was a pianist and had a magnificent voice, and she was going to sing at our wedding.
Oh, I forgot. So
And she, yes, she became ill at the last minute. It was Mrs. Bryant. That was sad. So
yeah.
We quickly ran around.
Well, you know, when I was as mayor, I performed weddings, and when they would be in Central Park, they would bring their tape, and you could go in at the library, rent the wedding march on tape.
Oh, okay.
And they would bring their their CD players and plug them in and or battery, and so things haven't changed.
Same idea.
Things haven't changed at all.
It was funny. It was him. The photographer's wife took care of it.
But when we were out in Hawaii, we had to make a decision about where we go now, because what they did was to take five graduating seniors, and we ran the clinic for that year.
Oh, okay.
There were two clinics. One was one in the town and the other. And then you were out, a new group came in.
But
we stayed over a little bit.
More often than not, they were local.
All locals.
Because you didn't know dental school in the islands.
Sure.
So they had graduated from school here, but you had to practice for a year out there before you could take your boards.
Oh, okay.
Even the local.
So they would come out there and practice.
Yeah. And that was their year.
So the clinic, was it a university clinic?
No.
It was a
privately funded.
It was actually Kodak money.
Yeah.
Strong Carter, it was called. Okay. Strong Carter Clinic, but there was Kodak money involved somehow. And the chance of a Howley getting in, even though at that time it was not a state, it was a territory at that time, 80% Oriental,
mm-hmm.
20% white. But the whites controlled.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they decided how many whites were going to come in. They let as many.
Yeah.
Or Amazon's.
Yeah.
And so my chance of doing thinking of really doing. But
well, we thought.
We thought.
As it turned out,
I took it past it. But then I was in a boat sailing back here. Dad flew back when I was on the transatlantic boat.
But Dr. Huther, who was on the board, was a University of Michigan graduate. And he kept encouraging me. It was the dentist and his brother that were ready to take him into practice.
Yeah.
I thought we were staying.
But then we thought, well, where else would you choose that could be anything similar to what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with the dunes and everything.
And the snow. No.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. Actually, Dave was.
Yeah.
He missed the season.
Sure.
Oh. Funny story about the Luther family. He had apparently had excellent practice. They were very well to do, and they had us for dinner one evening, and it was very nice because I sat on Dr. Huther's left, which I guess is where he placed your
okay.
honored guests for the evening, and there were probably only 10 of us there. No, they won. They were just being very kind. The maid kept bobbing in, and this is who he was at, so I don't know. Finally, she came over to me and said, "My dear, you're sitting where the maid's button is, and I think you're tapping it."
Oh, dear.
What maid? What button?
Yeah.
I never heard of such
a for maid. Yeah.
Oh, it was just mortifying. And Sharon, I've never been any place since where they had a maid's button, so I could be aware of it.
Oh, that's funny.
So my brother was in Grand Rapids, and I said,
Come
there and see if you can come. At that time, at the corner of the front where I had my office, I remember, the DMs were putting up a building. They didn't know for what. And so my brother said, "Well, I can do that office."
They said, "Yes, we'll put some zinks in."
Some zinks. Okay.
Yeah. So that's how we ended.
That's how you ended up here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great.
Yeah,
well,
that's the story.
You know, obviously, the city's been well blessed by the two of you making this your home.
Well, and
more than you. Yeah.
How did you meet them?
At school. We were a blind date, actually. At Western. Tom and I went to Western. Tom wishes he'd gone to state, but anyway.
Oh, he wouldn't have met me.
He would never would have met me.
Yeah.
Blind date.
This is kind of a funny story. Jack Keating introduced Eleanor Eleanor Ringelberg, Eleanor Shaw, to Harold Ringelberg.
I remember him telling that story.
Jim Keating was dating what was my big sister in the sorority. I just pledged a sorority and were signed an active.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided they wanted to double. And so Tom was living with Jim Keating. So basically, Jim Keating introduced Tom and Gail.
Yes.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Second generation.
Yeah. So, we were blinding at Western. And then, but see, I would go home to Hawaii and in the summers. And work and stuff like that. Well, 3 years. But so it was my 3 years of college. And so I only went there in the summers. And
good fun.
And Tom will be back here, So we actually got married between our junior and senior year of college, which this day and age, I look at my 23-year-old daughter and I'm thinking, she's not ready to be married. I was married at 21. She is no more ready to be married.
I know.
I'm sure when I was 21, I was very mature.
Yeah,
we thought we were.
Sure.